Welcome to the Creatives Experience Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Isaac Whedon. On each episode, I will be speaking with artists and bringing you in on their life, faith, and creative experience. I'm excited for you to be joining us today. Thank you for listening. So without further ado, let's get to it. Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. I have the very talented Andrew Padilla with me today. He is a very, very talented songwriter, producer, designer, artist, videographer. Man, you've got so many things you've been doing. I've been very blessed with just your journey with creativity and what God's been pushing you into. Would you say you are the leader of the group, the group Ecclesia? Would that be proper to say?
Hey man, I started it with my friends and kind of been casting vision for it. So yeah, leaders.
Praise God. Praise God. Awesome. Yeah. So he's been doing a plethora of different things. So it's really cool. You are a true creative bro. So thank you so much for joining me on today's episode, man.
Dude, it's an honor, man. I'm glad we made it happen, dude.
Praise God. So where are you currently at right now?
So I'm based in West Palm Beach, Florida, and I'm in my room. This is where all the creative stuff happens, my little room. So it's just kind of me bootlegging it.
Awesome, bro. And how old are you right now?
So I'm 21.
21, man, young. Awesome. I mean, not that I'm much older, but it's just super cool to have a younger fellow artist just kicking it, bro. You guys are doing such a great job.
Yeah, thanks,
praise man. God. So like at what point, because since you have so many facets of creativity, maybe let's jump into this. What would you say, like if you're having to explain what you do, how would you explain that to somebody? What is it that you focus on personally?
Yeah, so right now with Ecclesia being kind of the main project that I'm putting most of my time into, it's mainly, music production, songwriting, and then music performance, for the group. So it's kind of like right now it's acting as a band, kind of a collective as well, but kind of transitioning into kind of like a tighter knit band. So that's kind of what Ecclesia is right now. Since we're a small indie group, we have to, do as much stuff ourselves as possible. Yeah. So it looks like, doing visuals, doing videos and graphic design as well. But I think the main purpose for Ecclesia is definitely music, at least right now.
Yeah, definitely. And are you the one creating majority of all the visual things, like cover art and promo videos and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think I'm the one that kind of takes up. I love, Steph and Sarah. Oh my gosh, I can't say their names. Steph and Sarah, my two friends that are kind of helping me with this project right now. Throw ideas off each other and the collaborative process. But I'm the one that kind of, takes on the work of like creating the headpieces for
our
pieces. So,
because you guys got a very interesting like aesthetic, bro. Honestly, you've created your own league, I must say. I haven't seen anyone take this much effort and energy into creating their own like flavor visually, even, one thing, it being audibly, but visually, man, you guys have been doing a fantastic job. So
congrats, man.
Absolutely. Praise God. So you've been doing all these things, right? But what really caught my attention, for example, the way I ran into you was through online and Instagram and then music and then just keeping up with you guys for the last year or so. Your name Ecclesia is something that I believe many people need to brush up on, because in today's sense of what's taking place in churches and what's taking place in the body of Christ, I believe there's a need, desperate need for people coming to the reality that we're called into a living, breathing organism, a functioning circle, a functioning family, that pushes us into, an active lifestyle with Christ. Could you like unpackage how God just put on your heart to use the name Ecclesia?
Yeah, man. So I think with this group, I think a lot of what we do is a lot of like prophetic ministry. Like I think everything that we're releasing to some extent is something that, you know, either we're walking through, but we feel like is a bigger message for the edification of the body. So me as a marketer, because that's what I'm studying in university right now. Mm-hmm. When I kind of got the name Ecclesia from God, I was like, yo, that is not really marketable. Like, it's just like hard, like it's hard to pronounce. People don't get it. Yeah. And I got that, but I just felt so clear from God that this was a word and a concept that he wanted to breathe life into. And super specific about like even the word ecclesia instead of using like church, you know, like even our whole concept of like the word church is kind of like tainted. So coming back to ecclesia,
it's very tainted.
Yeah. And we have like a lot of religion and a lot of, just like different concepts, like, you know, just how we've grown up, in this culture about church and my heart, and what I kind of felt. So the short story, I'll tell it really quick, is that when we were starting, we were obviously praying for a name for the group. And I started kind of just with a bunch of my friends, just kind of making music, super chill. Mm-hmm. And then God reminded me of a summer when I was in Kentucky. That's where I grew up. And we were at a coffee shop and this random guy walked up and we were sitting and there was this painting on the wall and he pointed to it. He was like a literally random guy. And he was like, what do you think about that painting? And I was like, oh, it's cool, you know? It was super impressionistic, kind of like what's it called? Like splattered paint kind of. Okay. And super like ambiguous. And he was like, what do you see? And I said, well, I kind of see like a figure, maybe like pulling back an arrow, you know? Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, that's exactly what it is. I'm actually the artist that painted it.
Oh, and, cool.
Yeah, it was super cool. And I was like, oh, sick. So what does it mean? So this guy, I think he might've been an angel. I don't know, but it was pretty like from God. He was like, oh dude. So I used to be a Buddhist, a Satanist, an atheist, like all of it. He said, I tried every religion and like 5 months ago, I think it was like 3 or 5 months ago. He said, I met Jesus in a dream and he told me that he's the only way. And since then I've like given everything to God, you know, I'm not creating art for,
wow,
the enemy or, you know, the other kingdom, but he said, I'm making it for Jesus. And it was just super like crazy. Cause that whole summer I was praying like, God, I need you to give me vision for like what my role is. Cause I know you've called me to do art. Like, so what does that look like? Like what
does
that like strategically look like, at the beginning of my ministry? And so anyways, but he said, so the meaning of this painting is actually called Ecclesia. And he said, it's basically a representation of the early church. We read of the Acts church that obviously the church has never been perfect. It's always been imperfect, but there's something that the early church carried that he said that he feels that we've lost touch of. Mm-hmm. A unity, a certain focus, a certain, like, you know, like a woman pulling back an arrow, like on mission, on goal in the battle. Whereas now it's like churches lost its focus of like making the goal Jesus and the gospel and advancing the kingdom. It's kind of like a cool kids club or like, you know, it's an aesthetic now. Like it's like, no,
it's been a business, you know,
or a business model literally. And
especially in America,
especially in the Western church, he's saying. So it was really cool. It shook me up. I was like, man, very like cool, man. I'm super like evangelistic on my heart and wanting to reach the lost, but it's like, okay, so we reach them and like get them. And then where do we send them? Like if the church is like so broken, and like really in needing of revival here in the States, it's like, if you kind of have to start from the inside out, you know? So at least that's what I felt with what I'm carrying for this, for this season of art. So awesome, yeah, I'm just really speaking into that. So that's where ecclesia is. I didn't even define the word. So it's actually Latin for the called out ones. So it's a Latin word and it means, you know, literally called out. And then, obviously has the connotation of like assembly or gathering of Christians. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Awesome, bro. Praise God. I've actually been really wanting to talk about this with, well, anyone really. But it just really hasn't come up in conversation in the way that I always hope for topics to come up just naturally. And I'm very excited to have a, you know, fellow brother in Christ, somebody who is, you know, doing things for the kingdom of God, but is not, how to say, hasn't been swayed into thinking that, you know, this is a easy life with Christ, you know, and what God's really been revealing to me over the last man, I would say a solid year and a half where I finally, like, I ended up stepping out of church, out of the church I was in, and just having to understand, like, God, what does it mean to live a life with you? Yeah. Like, outside of my, you know, Sunday ritual, you know, what does this look like, you know? And then having to understand that, man, we're called to a supernatural lifestyle.
That's it.
And what that comes down to is, you know, when you're reading in scripture, what is taking place and what we're called to and what Jesus said we will be doing. And like, these are the signs of those who believe, these signs will follow those who believe, you know, and, you know, we're meant to go out in the world and share the gospel and set people free and heal the sick and do all these amazing things. It's like, all right, well, I came to a point where I'm like, well, where is this happening?
Yeah.
Why am I not being taught this? Yeah. Second of all, where is this happening? You know, and God's faithful, bro. Like, as you well know, and all the desires that he puts on our hearts that are righteous and that are for the advancement of his kingdom, he will answer all those things.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? And anything that he puts on your heart, they're like, oh man, I'm really feeling this. Even though it might not be what your current situation is or what the environment you're in is, it doesn't mean that it's not from God. You know, right. Like, just because other people around you aren't doing it doesn't mean that God's not calling you to do that, because time and time and time again in history, there's been so many examples of that taking place, right? Where we're called to separate ourselves from the world and bring a new reality in, not alienate ourselves, but create a clear distinction. And so were you raised in church, bro, or did you come to Christ later on in your life?
So yeah, I was raised in church. But I think I didn't really surrender until it was kind of a process, honestly, super Jonah-like. I think there was obviously a marking moment when I was 15 of like feeling the call to, you know, use whatever gifts God had given me for him. And then like, even after that, even after like very clearly hearing God, it probably wasn't until like freshman year of college where I started like, just being equipped for it. And then like, okay, I'm ready to go now, God. So stuff like that. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Awesome, man. And within all this stuff, bro, I think it's such amazing part of everyone's story is that we all have a story, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, this doesn't matter if you've been raised in church or if you were once an atheist or if you were, you know, you were Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, whatever it might be, you know, we all have a story. We all have a testimony,
right,
which is the proof of God in you, you know, this. Yeah. And that, I think it's one of the most powerful things that we can share with people is that, you know, sharing a testimony with people and be like, oh man, that's what God's been doing in my life. And that makes, that like bridges the gap from God being some, you know, separate divine entity outside for unreachable from us, you know?
So good.
Awesome. So I've been seeing you and a collection of many other artists. Let's pick out, for example, the One Big Family Tour. Was that what you were just on?
Yeah, we just did that a couple weeks ago.
Praise God. So share a little bit about the tour, bro, and then I'll jump into some of the artists that you had the opportunity to spend time
with. Oh, dude, it was so much fun. It was basically like almost 2 weeks of a West Coast tour. So we basically just drove all the way up California into like Seattle, and then pretty much to Canada, Vancouver. So super fun. It was like a bunch of artists that I think most of us connected through like this YouTube blog called The Good Christian Music Blog.
Yes.
So it's a bunch of like, you know, we're like kind of smaller indie bands that are doing, you know, more eclectic Christian music, you know, not the mainstream CCM stuff, which is great. A lot of us have connections with those people and we love them, but it's just like, it's just a different, you know, different calling. So, so it's really awesome just to like, we've known each other. Most of us have met through like social media and, you know, had conversations like that, maybe talked on the phone, but this was the first time we all kind of got to meet in person and it was just a blast, man.
How crazy it is, right, to just build these kind of connections, like, virtually, yeah, and then see them,
right,
virtually, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is,
yeah,
this is happening right now.
So cool. Yeah, it's awesome.
Praise God. So within everybody that was at the tour, I've been seeing like an undrawn circle of artists that, mm-hmm, God has been calling to create for the body, but also outside of the like social norm that's taken place for so long, like outside of the, you know, lifestyle of working under a label, being kind of trapped into this, I don't want to call it trapped, but I can't think of a different word. Being trapped into like having to do things because you have a boss above you. You know, being an indie artist is so freeing, but also so much harder. You know,
it's definitely
takes so much more work. I mean, you end up playing all the roles that the record label would be playing for you, right?
Yeah,
so you got to promote, you got to hit the emails, you possibly have to manage yourself, you have to do this, you have to contact. It's a tremendous amount of work. But would you say that it's been worth it through all the efforts you've been putting in?
Yeah, man, and yeah, it's been so worth it. And I think, honestly, it's kind of the way the industry is kind of moving towards. Mm-hmm. I don't know if record labels will ever become obsolete. They might. I really don't know the future of it. But it seems more and more you're seeing artists kind of build their own teams and doing it themselves, you know? And I think the way that the music industry is kind of moving towards, it's more and more possible. You know, with social media, you can build your own platform. And so it's like, you're not needing to sign so many 360 deals. And if you sign, it's like distribution and stuff like that. But you know, that's not what a lot of labels want anyways. So, so that stuff we'd have to kind of just figure out, like, okay, like if we do sign, we're not totally against it, but it's like, it would have to be totally God and like the right timing. So right now it just makes more sense to, at the size that we are right now, still kind of small. Mm-hmm. We're still able to do it with a small team. So we're just kind of taking it step by step.
Praise God. And faith, right?
Yeah.
So what is your expectation for this new wave of Christian artists? Because I believe you are part of this undrawn circle of people who are doing things, and God's really pushing you and many others forward. As somebody who I see set in the, as someone who I see God using to help set the tone for what's going to be taking place, what is your expectation for this new wave of Christian artists?
You know, man, I think something that was super, like, that really impacted me after this tour was seeing how each artist carried such a different part and, like, different aspect of the heart of God, mm-hmm, like, super strongly. Like, cool. Everything that each person carried was so different and yet so, like you get blasted by it, you know, like, I could go on about each of them, but it's just like each person that went up was so unique and, carried so strongly, like aspects of, the kingdom that, you know, mm-hmm, separate are like incomplete, but when put together, it's like, it's the full picture of God. And that's why I'm like, I'm all about the body, like where we need to be unified as the body, mm-hmm, whether in person or, you know, in spirit. It's because we're missing out on aspects of God. So with the next wave of you know, Christian artists and Christian creatives and just like revival for a generation, I think it looks like people walking into like fully tapping into who God made them to be. And the only way to do that is to know God, you know, because mm-hmm, he knows us who we are.
Intimacy.
We've been made a new creation. So it's like artists just like not copying, not like trying to settle to be like something that has been, but taking the labor and the work to discover like, okay, what do I actually carry? Like, I don't need to be the next so-and-so that's already big. Yeah. It's like, what do I carry that, you know, maybe it's always easier just to like, follow something that someone else has trailblazed, but it takes more effort to actually like discover and pave a new way. But at the same time with God, it's like, that's where the power is. If you're not doing that, like you're stripping your ministry, your life of, you know, of Holy Spirit, you know, anointing, because you're like writing off someone else's anointing, and we were never made to do that, you know?
That's good. I haven't really heard it like that, man.
Yeah, so like my thing is, I feel like it just takes, and what I'm seeing right now with this new wave of Christians is like, people just unapologetically being themselves and talking about like, hey, don't be me, be you, you know? So like, once that's like, you know, I think of like, I've heard the story of like the guy that like broke the time limit for the mile, you know? And yeah. when he was the first to do that, then a bunch of people else were able, like, oh, if he can do it, then like all of a sudden everyone else started doing it. I feel like with music, if someone starts like being so original and just doing them, it gives others permission and like freedom to, oh shoot. So you're saying I don't have to sound like everyone else? Yeah you don't.
That's factual. Yeah, absolutely, bro.
Yeah. So man, that's my
heart. I've had that even impact my life, man. So I completely agree.
Oh, praise God.
Praise God. Wow. Awesome, man. So within, all right. So let's say, theoretically you have been seeing artists, you know, pursuing God and you've been seeing them create things for his glory. Mm. What have you seen that's been taking place that you believe people should avoid doing as an artist? And this isn't just an artist and music, you know, because the reason I ask you that is also because you have, you know, your fingers and so many other facets of creativity. What is something or some things that you've seen that you're like, hey man, we're not called to be doing this. Don't waste your time on that.
Yeah, that's like a lot. You know, I honestly think, I don't know who quoted this. It might've been Bill Johnson or someone from Bethel, but, the enemy doesn't really care which side of the horse you fall off, like the left side or the right side, as long as you're off the horse. Like, good. Being that the horse is truth and like grace and the center of everything, you know? So whenever a ministry becomes unbalanced or, you know, too focused on one thing, and I totally understand, like each of us carries different stuff. So we're automatically going to focus on, you know, certain aspects of God. But whenever we are, not listening to Holy Spirit, you know, I think that's the bottom, because the bottom line, when the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, so as an artist, whenever we're, just getting distracted and taking our eyes off of like the mission that God has given us, that's when I think we start becoming useless. But dude, falling off the horse, that can look like so many, there's 100 ways to do it, man. There's so many, like, especially for anyone doing like work for the kingdom, like if you're like, the enemy's not worried about you if you're not actually like displacing darkness, you know? So for those that are actually doing something that's like impacting darkness and bringing light, like the enemy's going to do everything to like get you discouraged, to get you sidetracked, to get, you know, so many things. He wants to destroy us, first of all, and our callings and whatever we carry. So
yeah,
so it's a big question. You're saying like, what are some things not to do? Like, don't fall into that, but there's so many opportunities for that. So
definitely,
yeah, being rooted, you just like developing that intimacy so that you know his voice and you know what he's called you to, and just coming back to it. It's not a one-time moment. It's like, it's every morning, every moment.
Amen. And for those of you guys listening, I really highly, highly encourage you, if you are enjoying the fruits of labor of so many artists that are creating and are, you know, making content or making music, are creating paintings, making movies, making whatever they are making, if you are enjoying that, I really encourage, well, I say this to myself as well and to you, Andrew, to be praying for artists.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, like if you're, let's say you have a favorite artist and you listen to their music every single day, all right, you are being blessed by their hard work, by their intimacy with Christ. You're being blessed by that. But when we start looking at artists who are disciples of Christ and separate them from the body of Christ,
yeah,
well, then that causes a huge, huge gap, you know, and then you start treating them differently than somebody, let's say, that's a part of your church, or somebody that's a part of your network, your small group, your fellow friends that are growing in the Lord. You know, if we're not interceding for the people who are out there, putting themselves out there, because not everyone's called to, you know, publicly you know, create all this stuff and put it out. And you know, everybody's got a different lane that God's been putting us in. We are all called to, you know, be bold and share the gospel if and when it is required at whatever moment. However, to put yourself out there, to create content, to create anything, and then put it out into the world, I mean, you put yourself into direct target.
Yeah.
And if we're not praying for each other, man, that creates it's a very dangerous position to be in, you know?
Yeah, man.
So I encourage you guys to listen, man. If you've been blessed by anyone who's creating things for the glory of God, be praying for them. You know, make a note and get a notebook, whatever, and start writing down like, hey, who has been blessing me? And I'm not saying, hey, you got to be praying for these people every day, but at least keep that in mind. You know, like yeah. once a week, once a month, however that looks, so that we can help each other be covered.
Yeah,
with protection, because prayer is powerful.
It's so good, powerful. Man. And honestly, man, that's why recently, I don't know if it's been a couple weeks ago, but I made a group chat, like a group me for yes. people, just like friends and like, and rent, you know, just, it's so cool with social media. You can connect with everyone now. So I was just like, hey, if you really want to support our ministry, like, hey, I'll make this group chat and kind of, I've been, you know, giving behind the scenes of some stuff we do, but even more so that it's like, hey guys, pray for us this week. This happened, you know?
Yeah.
And it's literally the body getting to, you know, come in alignment. And it's so encouraging, man, through that group chat and even outside of that, so many people say, hey, I've been praying for you guys. I'm so impacted what you're doing and covering you guys. Dude, that's like the biggest thing. It lights me up because I'm like, ah, this is even while we're doing it, like, the body being the body, you know.
Mm, okay. And you're just seeing it function the way it's meant to be, you know. Yeah. Praise God. Awesome. So within all of our walks with the Lord, I believe you mentioned something about a Jonah period, or a similar story with Jonah where you may have ran away from God's calling or ran away from what God had intended. Has there been a lie that you were deceived by, that you accepted as true at some point in your life, but then God revealed to you that it was a lie, and then now you are set free from anything that maybe you experienced that would, you know, encourage people? I would say this is part of a testimony. But yeah, is there anything, a biggest lie you've been deceived by that you accepted as true at some point?
Yeah, man, I think growing up in the church, but then also being in art school since like fourth grade, I think you're surrounded by so many lies. I think one of them for me was always trying to like fit in, or feeling that, you know, you need to be accepted by these people.
Mm.
I think acceptance was a huge thing of feeling like, just like putting acceptance of like man and acceptance of people above, you know, God's acceptance. And I think in that searching, and that led me to compromise. So like, yeah. Then in high school years, you know, starting out on fire after hearing God, give like direction of like, hey, I've called you to this. This is what I'm going to use you for. And then like, you know, being on fire then transitioning to, you know, starting to hang out with the wrong crowd, starting to talk like them, starting to go to parties with them, and totally like lose the message, you know.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, it's crazy, even through that Jonah period, still talking about Jesus and still people like opening their hearts and even God still using me, which is like blows my mind. But it's like totally living in less than what I was supposed to be doing. So I think a big lie of our generation is like we're not realizing how much God accepts us. And once we like, and even in the church, man, okay. So even like, I realized kind of, I've been processing some like healing stuff with God. Like even when I got like back online, like back, you know, not backsliding anymore. So then I was like plugged into church and stuff like that. I realized I was looking for acceptance from like people in the church, and even that. And it was like, our foundation for acceptance needs to be Jesus and God accepting us. So like even doing, you know, churchy good things, like being in ministry, serving on staff and all that, I was actually looking for acceptance from leaders and putting my identity in that place. And, you know, leaders are going to fail us, you know, one way or another. You know, we're all imperfect people. So putting that much weight on someone to carry, like, my acceptance comes from an earthly person. My acceptance comes from this group of people, whether it be in the church or, like, you know, in, you know, corrupt, you know, circles where, you know, it's like partying and doing stuff like that, that obviously is destructive for your life. But then you wouldn't think as much like, oh, even in the church, when I put someone in the place where only God and only Jesus needs to be sitting, it's actually destructive just as much. So I've learned, so that's actually even something I was just meditating on this week, kind of looking back on past seasons, like, oh shoot, like that's why you let that fall apart, God. It was because if I had like continued in that mindset, it was stripping you from having that role on my heart. So it's like just purifying heart intentions and like, you know, God wants it all and he wants the highest seat of our heart. So, made me realize like how I was even doing that past maybe the Jonah season, the lie of like acceptance and finding belonging and, you know, yeah. So just that. And it's like, it's not something that we find earthly. It's like, if we're looking to find belonging from earthly relationships, we're always going to be let down. I think it starts from understanding your belonging to the kingdom, to God, and then we can release belonging to everyone around. Instead of, it's like coming from that lie from abundance instead of from lack, you know?
Cool, man. So that's good.
Yeah, that's kind of been a journey I've walked through.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing, bro. Yeah. I want to piggyback off what you mentioned, how, you know, you're still sharing Jesus, even though you weren't necessarily living that life the way God's called you to live, you know? And man, that was the same thing for me, man. It'd be knowing what God's calling me to, knowing what God has revealed to me, knowing what is true. And although not having fully committed to it yet,
right,
still having the willingness and the love to share it with people. Yeah. You know, and you know, I'd find myself at parties, at, you know, clubs, bars, whatever, and whether stoned, drunk, messed up on other drugs, man, and earlier parts of my teenage life, man, it was like still sharing Jesus, you know. Mm-hmm. But what I have to say is this: you can share Jesus all you want. Mm-hmm. But if your lifestyle taints what you're saying, then you're actually creating a disservice.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and yeah, somebody might argue, oh yeah, well, how else would that person, you know, encounter somebody to learn about God? Yeah, I mean, that is a valid point. But aside somebody hearing about God, it is much more powerful for them to see and to experience and to understand the validity of God through somebody's lifestyle rather than them just saying a few words.
Yeah, because totally.
When they do get to a point of understanding and really getting to know God, they'll see through the words, you know, and they'll be like, man, well, why are you saying this if your life isn't matching it?
Yeah.
You know, and that's something God really worked on me for a long time was, and it's still working on me. I mean, I'm still a work in progress. Understanding that although I love to share the gospel, I need to love God more than my pursuit of desire.
Yes.
You know, I need, there has to be a difference in that. And I can't, you know, think I could be put in a position. I think so many artists want to be on stages, want to be in these influential positions. I mean, I got caught in it, you know, and God's relieved me of that. And just now I'm just like, you know, Lord, I'm just willing to do what you wish. Like whatever it is that you want, I'm down. But for a while getting caught up in like, oh, I want to be an influencer. I want to influence on this. I'm going to start doing things this way because I think this is the way it's going to get me to what I want to do. In the whole meantime, you tainting the gospel with your lifestyle. And then you're wondering, well, why God, why isn't this happening? Why aren't things moving forward? You know, why isn't my music taking off? Or why are my videos taking off? Why don't my follower count go up? Why aren't people keeping up with my stuff? You know, and a big thing that God revealed to me also, and I love that you mentioned, especially about your experience at the tour where, you know, everybody holds a different aspect of God's love and God's, their understanding of the Lord. And that's the beauty of, well, Ecclesia for that matter, understanding that we all have a different element that creates the body, right? Yeah. And what I've been recently personally feeling for myself is, although I'm super encouraged and I love to listen to, I guess I'll call it like indie worship. I've put you and Montel and everybody else in that category. It's like, it's just kind of free flow different. You know, it's just different. As much as I love that, as much as I think it would be awesome to make stuff like that, God's been putting on my heart and telling me like, hey, there are current cultural issues that are taking place that the body of Christ isn't talking about.
Yeah, that's so good.
And we need to talk about that too.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe this podcast is a part of it. And, you know, creating an opportunity for conversations to take place so that people could understand the implications of what is really going on. And understanding that although you might have on your heart to, you know, be known and to share the gospel with people, you know, it's a very fine line between you doing it because you want people to know God and you want people to know you.
Oh, totally, man.
You know,
it's about checking your heart, dude.
Amen. Amen. And it's only done with discernment and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we could really have clarity in that. But what God's been showing me is, hey, I need you to accept that what I have put on your heart is not popular.
Yeah. That's what I have to walk through too, man.
Man, and it's just like, oh, that blows, man. You know, it's like, my gosh, like, you mean to tell me like all this work that has been put in, all this effort, it won't be what I thought it was going to be? And God's just like, yeah, it's not. And also understanding, I just wrote a piece yesterday called, I'm God's been put on my heart to write about current events such as abortion. I have a track about abortion coming out this Friday on the 28th. I just wrote a piece yesterday on censorship and what is taking place with our freedom of speech. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, bro, that Christianity is going to be taking such shots at it in the next few months and years that our faith won't be legal, bro. Like a true form of Christianity won't be legal. You won't be able to share the gospel in its true form without reaping the consequences. And so God's just been showing me like, hey, why do you even want to bother? Not that you shouldn't put any effort into this, but don't be so worried and obsessed and fixated on having to get a follower count or having to get this up or having to get this, because there may very well come a point where what you're doing is not welcomed anymore.
Oh, totally. And then we're already walking into that.
I mean, we're seeing that right now, especially with, you know, June being Pride Month. And
oh yeah, man,
anyone that says anything against homosexuality or LGBTQIA+, whatever else they're going to add on, you know, it's hate speech now.
Yeah.
You know, and anyone that says anything against anyone is now it's hate speech. And right. And America's gone from like a free thought discussion platform to this is what you can say, this is what you can't say. And that's not how this works. Free speech isn't created for thoughts that are enjoyed by everyone. Free speech is created for the thoughts that irritate and anger other people as well. It's very much so more for that than it is for well-accepted ideas.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing where like in pop music and to be an influencer or whatever, it's like you can only really influence if like mainstream culture is in agreement with it, you know? Like it's all, and that's the thing with
facts.
Pop, like
big facts.
It's about making sure you have to be super political about it. You know, you have to be like, you can't say that or else you're going to lose this much, or like, it's going to like, people just won't listen if you start saying those things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I felt like. In Ecclesia, we've started to get into it, but not even fully. Like, man, like me as like, I'm totally unapologetic about my faith, and I'll say what is the truth, you know, in love, you know, because I know that like not saying these things actually isn't loving a generation.
That's right.
So that's something I've had to put to death, you know, like I was like, God, and just being super honest with God, like, God, with what you gifted me, I could totally be bigger if I didn't make Christian music, you know?
Yeah.
If I wasn't talking about these things that people just don't relate to as much, you know, like, I could probably make I could make money off this, God, you know? Or even in the Christian music industry, bro, if I was like saying, hey, I'm just not going to talk about these things that are probably the strongholds of, over a generation, but if I don't talk about them, you know, maybe I'll be playing, you know, if I don't have a hard stance on homosexuality, maybe I'll
be on the radio,
you know, I'll be at the Billboard Awards or playing Ellen or, you know, all this stuff. Man. But, you know, like, oh, but what are the actual strongholds over our generation, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I know I need to speak into that, you know, and I've started, but like, dude, I'm ready to go and ham about it.
Good, bro.
More and more.
So question, man, I know there are different points of view on this.
Yeah.
And based on what you're saying, I feel like we might have a similar understanding on this, but just to hear your thoughts, where do you stand on Christians? We'll say Christian creatives, but we could just say Christians as a whole having a political stance. Where's your heart with that in regards to like sharing where you stand politically, what you believe, what you think is right and wrong? You know, because there's a lot of politics happening today. And for the longest time, I didn't give two hoots about it, bro. Right. Until I started to see my faith get affected by it. If I don't say nothing, like yeah. I came to the realization, man, if I don't say anything, it is as if I agree with it.
Yeah, no. And that's so true, man.
So what would you say, you know, where are you at with politics? Like, what do you think as an artist or as a Christian as a whole, you should be sharing things about politics, or you think we should stay silent about it?
Well, I mean, look at non-Christian artists. They're very political, you know, like people are going to go there because, you know, the younger gen, you know, their listeners probably have a certain stance. So they're standing with that, you know, I don't know if I can speak to if they believe it or if they're doing it for, you know, marketing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a lot of people do it for marketing. I feel like, you know, sometimes having a certain, you know, even with like Pride Month, man, like I just can't believe that like everyone is that, like I feel like people, and even the funny thing, even people in those like the LGBT community even kind of criticize people like, y'all don't really support us, you're just doing this for like marketing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So like even within themselves, like they're seeing past that. But so being about Christians being political, so I don't like to I'm more conservative, but I don't really identify like with a specific party. Okay. It's more on like issues, you know? So mm-hmm. like yeah, I think we need to be talking about issues. I think one thing like millennials and Gen Z are all about tolerance and acceptance.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe the generation before us was more focused on like truth, like what is the truth?
Yeah.
And maybe have missed out on aspects of like, you know, invitation, inviting people into family and community. I think we've got the family community aspect. Like that's something that we get. I think we're really lenient on truth, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you look in historically, whatever the previous generation did, the one after them kind of does like the opposite, you know, yeah, they like swing.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I'm saying. Like the enemy doesn't care what side of the horse you fall off on as long as you're not on it.
Yep. It's good.
Yeah. Bro. So it's the same thing. Like, okay. Hyper like truth without love.
Mm.
That's not it, you know? And then love with compromising on the truth, isn't it either. So, you know, what is political, quote unquote, like to me, genocide of like children is totally political, but like that's something that the church needs to talk about, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, identity, where God has a clear stance on it, and sexual identity and speaking life into that, even though people will hate you for thinking that you're like a bigot for saying certain things. But I mean, it's done, if it's done in love and in God's heart, like that's what the church was always called to do, that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand people that feel called to like kind of be like a ninja in culture and like, you know, stand for Christ. And, you know, I don't think that, maybe that's not everyone's calling. I'm not really.
Definitely not everyone's calling.
I just know that like, that's my calling. And I know, so like, that's something that I had to put down. Cause I was like, I know for me, it's being a prophetic voice and like, look at the history of prophets, even Old Testament, like they said what needed to be said and they were hated by culture, yet they were the voice in culture. So it's like, it's that kind of that dichotomy of like, so like what I'm saying isn't going to be received by culture, but yet they're like, people listen to the prophets. So I don't understand how it works, but, and understanding that we are prophesying not just to the church, but like to the lost and to a lost generation. So, that's something that I'm already praying into and like prepared, like, what is that going to look like, and strategy, like, okay, I don't know. I'm not going to get into that, but just like ways that you can in a way. So I'm actually, it's cool that we're talking about it. I've been praying a lot of like, so what does it look like for other strategies to impact culture that maybe it's not even through Ecclesia, you know? So I've just been praying through that.
Praise God. Awesome, bro. Yeah, man, because I've been, so my dad's like super into politics, you know, and I was at this point where me and my wife would visit because my family lives in Arizona, and I'm just like, dude, this dude's listening to politics all day. Like,
yeah,
all day, bro. And I'm like, my gosh, like how much can you handle this? And he'll get so fired up and upset. And this is what's happening. Like, guys, like, you need to know what's going on. And I'm just like, yeah dad, but you know, it really doesn't matter. You know, it's not like my vote really counts, or it's not like I was just swallowing up all the nonsense and BS that was being poured into everybody else, especially in our generation. Yeah, and sure. I was just accepting it. And he just said, man, he looked at me one day. He said, son, there has to be someone who is willing to reveal the things that are taking place and reveal the truth.
Yeah.
It has to be somebody. Will they be liked? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But it has to be done. Because this he's like, your generation needs it. Your generation needs people who are willing to step out on truth and stand on it no matter the cost. Yeah. And if you don't know what's happening today, how could you possibly know what to say?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man. So strangely, me and my wife have just been really, I mean, this whole abortion thing with Alabama and all this stuff that happened, bro, like my wife's heart broke for that so much, where she'd just be weeping and praying about it. Like she'd be at home. I mean, we live hundreds of miles away from that place, and God just broke her heart about it. And she would continuously have this on her mind, and we would talk about it. And that sparked me into writing the piece about abortion. It's actually called Infant Genocide. Mm-hmm. And it's just been crazy how God's just been pulling even me and my wife into an understanding of what is happening today. What does it mean? What does it mean to be a Democrat and a Republican? What is left, right? What is conservative? What is, you know what I'm saying? Like liberal, what are these things? Because the schools, from my experience being as a kid in school in America, I mean, I went from school from second grade to high school, you know, so I could say I have a pretty good taste of what's going down. I wasn't really taught any of that.
Yeah.
No, you're not educated on understanding where you're at, and the system, the schooling system, especially in America today, is very much so directed into creating a well-designed society of corporate slaves, and making all the efforts to make people willingly get into debt so that they can work for somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's almost like the entrepreneurial aspect of a lot that's taking place has been taken out, as it was such a big deal for so many people. But without getting into that too much, man, I really believe now in today's era, in these next few years, and what's going to be taking place, if we are going to be silent about what is happening, we are being disobedient to what God is calling us to be, to be the voice for the generations, to be a voice in the world, and to have an impact on culture. And if we can do that through art, we can absolutely do that through art. You know, you could create comics, you could create paintings, videos, songs, whatever it might be, and you could create them to tell a story. And we need to be writing the narrative. And I had the previous episode that will be out before this one, I recorded with Cap Chatfield. And yeah, you might know Cap, actually. He's friends with Josh Grant.
Yeah, I reckon.
So Cap does a bunch of cool stuff. And his big thing has been, let's take back media.
Yeah, so good.
Let's take back media. You know, and I really believe that's something that got us brewing. Because what's happening today, bro, if we stay silent, especially as artists, you know, it's kind of just like you're just dancing around in your own little world, oblivious to what was actually happening.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Praise God. Yo, so go ahead.
No. Yeah, I was just thinking, like, I love that you're talking about just being so, like, truth focused, because, man, I think we feel like representing God looks like shouting him out, like, once we have platform, but actually, like, the world's shouting out God. You know, like, it's actually it's like trending now. Like, I don't know, Holy Spirit's trending or something. It's like, but like, who is the God that we serve? The God of the Bible? Like, we have to represent his complete image, you know, and talk about the message that he carries. So, and some of it, you know, some of it gets political, you know, like, obviously his kingdom isn't of this world, but his principles are of this world. And bottom line, the war on culture is a war of ideologies, you know? Like, I think in our, like, postmodern cultural mind, we're like, oh no, it's not. It's not about that. It's like, just like, you believe what you want and I believe what I want. But ultimately, like, it's ideologies, and like, it's those that push their ideologies upon a culture that are the ones that influence a culture. And there's a way to push it, like, in a healthy way. I mean, if you look, the way we are now, where like homosexuality is accepted, is because that ideology was pushed, you know?
I mean, like, hardcore pushed.
Hardcore. And the church was silent, or the ones that were representing the church were doing it in like a horrible way, like picketing, like, nah. But like, but the other side is then like, oh, I don't know about it, so I'm just not going to talk about it, or I'm just going to like, it's uncomfortable, so I'm like gonna barely like go there.
Or
like,
if I start talking about this, we're gonna lose people in the church.
Oh yeah, yeah. So it's like, and that's my thing. Like, and that's the same mentality of like, oh, if I start talking about this, I won't get platform in my art.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
It's the same thing, man. It's selling out. That's what it is. Bottom line,
compromise.
Yeah,
it's good. Thank you, bro. Wow. Yo, so every episode, I have each guest share a nugget of gold, I like to call I call them 1 minute wisdoms. You could find these on my Instagram. These are slightly like I use these as a promo to help people kind of get an idea of what the episode will be about. I'll paint this for you in a 60 second or less time frame. Let's say that you're going to be dying this day, and you have 60 seconds to share something with fellow artists on pursuing a creative lifestyle. What would you encourage them with?
I think it's with what God told me when I was 15, when he like called me and said that I'm going to use you as a voice for a generation through your arts. The verse he gave me was Romans 6:18, that said, now you have been set free from sin and are a slave to righteousness. You know, it's a super weird verse, especially with, you know, our cultural connotation of what slave means. It's different than what was in the Bible, but basically that image is representing how like we are bound to righteousness in Jesus, you know, and we have to now walk out that righteousness. And I think so many times we're focused on being creative and making sure we're on top of what's happening culturally. But what he told me, he said, yes, I'm going to use you. But essentially the condition for you to be like, for you to be a vessel that I can use is holiness. And that's a call to the church, man. Like, we're called to steward our hearts, and we can't do it in our own strength, but God doesn't call us to things that we can't do. So if he says, be holy like I am holy, it's because he's given us the Holy Spirit to do it. We'll do that work within us. So for me, it's like, that was holding me back from ministry was my purity, was my holiness, like my consecration for like to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So even now it's like checking, like if there's any compromise in me, I'm useless, you know, like it strips power away from me. And obviously the enemy wants to do that, especially to creative. So I would just say to you, creative, is like, are you a slave to righteousness? Like, is a willingness not to compromise, like the highest place of you, like what you're focused. Like, I will not compromise. I will stay righteous and holy because I'm made righteous and holy through Jesus and now walking that out. Like, that's the focus. I think we need to just bring it back to holiness. Like, if we're not doing it in the secret place and behind the public, like if we're not living it out, then like God isn't going to bless that.
Amen. That's good, bro. Thank you for that. Oh, awesome. Yo, so before we wrap up, just quick question. What are some plans you have for these next few years? It's kind of what you have on your heart, what you hope to be doing. Amen.
So yeah, we're finishing up our album right now. It's actually pretty much done. I'm just getting the last couple of masters. So that's gonna be dropping next month.
What date next month?
I think it's like, I know the album release party is July 19th. I think it might be the week before that.
Awesome, bro. Exciting.
Yeah, man. So we've all the singles that we put out, we're kind of compiling and then adding like four more singles to that project. And so wrapping up that, and that's kind of been a long work in the process. And then already working on album two, writing into that and praying into that, because it's kind of, you know, it's going to have our sound, our unique kind of like quirky instruments, but I kind of feel like a different direction, like less clubby, like this album. So okay, just praying into that. And videos. Yeah, we're working on a couple videos for album two that we're really excited for. And we feel like the message is so visual that it needs a video that represents it really well. So I'm hoping to do another album in 2020 and release that. Back-to-back albums.
So you want to release one, what, this summer, and then one before 2020 again?
Well, like early 2020. So like,
okay, cool. So the second album would be early 2020 then.
Yeah, and we have like a couple. We have some cool collaborations. I think we have another one with Montel coming out, and
awesome.
One with Isla Vista that I'm kind of finishing.
Ooh, really very cool.
But those will be dropping We'll be dropping this year. Yeah.
Oh, exciting! Yeah, awesome, man. Praise God. Yo, bro, I really appreciate your time, man. Just willing to chop it up with me and share your heart and what God's been doing. And I'm very excited to just continue this relationship with you, man. And just continue to see God build on what, you know, he's put on your heart.
Yeah, bro. Same, man. Love it.
Praise God. Praise God. Awesome. So every episode, we close out with prayer. If you'd be so kind to, bro, would you be willing to pray for the listeners? And then I'll just pray for you and your ministry, and we'll finish up.
Of course, man. Let's do it.
There I go.
God, we just thank you so much for just this time, Lord. I just pray that everything that was you, Father, that would just resonate deep in our souls, and anything that we spoke that wasn't your heart, God, that we just forget that. But God, you're so good. And just thank you for speaking through us today. Thank you for your truth that was hopefully released today, and that people are more encouraged to just be bold in their faith, Father, to be bold in love, be unapologetic in truth, Father, and pioneers for this generation, Father. I just pray that you raise up people that will just go there and maybe do something that hasn't been done before, Father, because you are always doing a new thing, Father, and you're doing a new thing in each one of us, Father. It says you made us a new creation, Lord. We just thank you for that, Father. Just teach us and show us what that means, Father. We're a new creation, that we're called out of darkness into light, Father, that we're in this world, but we're not of it, Father. But yet we love it, Father. Teach us to love the lost and have a heart for them, that we're not trying to, you know, have the savior complex, but know that you are the savior, God, and we get to invite people into family, Lord. So just teach us to always minister from the place of revelation of you, God. So I just pray for all the creatives watching this, Father. They just feel encouraged to do it, Father. And I pray that you give them the perseverance to press through the creative battle, Father, because sometimes there's so many obstacles that we face because you've called us to do greatness, Father, and the enemy will always come against that, Lord. So give us perseverance to continue to push through, Lord, and to lean on you, God. So I just bless everyone listening, and we thank you so much, God. And I bless Isaac, Father, for what he's doing and what you've called him to do, and with this podcast. So just continue to bless him, and that he'll find fulfillment in just pleasing you with his work, God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Guys, thank you. And I pray in agreement with everything Andrew said, Lord. I just lift him up and his ministry and everything you've been putting on his heart to pursue. And I just ask you continue to reveal to him new understandings, new avenues of the way he can create and the way he can bring truth to the world. God, I just thank you for all the connections he's made. I thank you for Ecclesia and everybody that's a part of it. God, I just ask you continue to bless that and just be the head, Lord. Continue to be the head. Continue to lead the way you have designed us to follow you. And we just thank you and lift you up. Say this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey guys, this whole podcast is brought to you by my book, One Day Closer to Becoming Who You've Been Created to Be. It is available on Amazon as a print as well as an ebook. If you'd like to get a nice, quick, easy read, you could find that on Amazon. Just look up Isaac Whedon, One Day Closer, and you'll find that right there. Andrew, this has been awesome, bro. Thank you so much once again. I look forward to seeing what's going to be happening. Can't wait to hear these new singles before the album drops, bro.
Hey, dude. Thanks, man.
All right, bro. Enjoy Jesus.